Tonight, we're going to continue on our consideration here in the scriptures about the enemies of Israel. And we're finding that they're wide and varied. It's just amazing. I knew in my mind the name of some or many, but had no idea in putting it down on paper, if you will, and considering them all at the same time, just the expanse of this subject. And the point is, as we have mentioned in Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 3 there, the Lord makes plain that all the nations of the earth ultimately will be the enemies of Israel. But what we're looking at tonight is just from the biblical perspective, and that there of Israel's land, the Middle East, Palestine, as it is called by some, those inhabitants there, going back to the beginning or near the beginning of the time in which we live now, which post-flood, Noah and his sons, and on down from there. One thing that this also does, it gives consideration about the other different ethnicities and different branches of peoples and cultures and folks that spring from that. It's a wonderful study. I've not been much on history in my early life, but I've developed a greater appreciation that in recent times and here in the middle part of my life and that, and how that just helps us to understand some things in the world. And it's good. It's just good. And I'm thankful to at least learn some of it now. We have looked about from the passage in Psalm 83, where it mentions there that the tabernacles of Edom in verses 6 through 8, the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. We've used that as a beginning of this study and have looked at Ammon and Moab. We've looked at Ishmael and his descendants, Esau or Edom and his descendants, and are now considering the descendants of Canaan. In Genesis 9, we saw there the transgression, the sin of Ham, the father of Canaan, and Noah prophesied and told a curse that would be not on the son who did these things, but on the grandson. And hey, you ask me why? I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't say. I cannot say. We just go to the Bible to see what the Lord has done. And again, ultimately, the Canaanites, the descendants of Canaan, and some others, as we'll look to touch on in coming messages and studies on this subject, but they are going to be and are presently a displaced people. The Lord gave the land of Canaan to Israel, his nation. And he gave a wide, the general summary of that is from the Nile to the river Euphrates, with a northern boundary described, but those rivers are the bounds of that the Lord has promised to them. They've never occupied all of that. And a question that I've had in my mind for years and a realization in this is that those people, their land was given by God to Israel. That's what God has done. We need not quarrel with it because this is our God, our Creator, that has done this. And those people have nowhere to go. We see this, I believe, in modern times, in current times, that the those of that land that have been displaced for the sake of the Lord's nation, a great controversy has been started and exists because of that. Yet we find that those that may be of the same faith or religion as those displaced, other nations don't want them either. They want Israel dead. And they are the enemies of Israel. They don't want a solution of bringing them into their countries and into their lands, but they want Israel gone and they want that land back. Well, they may have it as they have in times past in bits and pieces and for pieces of time, but in the end, they're not going to have it. And the best thing that they can do is submit to the Lord. And I understand that there are those that have done so and claim to be the Lord's children by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. in Canaan, we saw about the lineage last time and tried to flush that out some and Canaan's sons and how we saw that there are yet more and more being mentioned and how it seems like that reference to the Canaanites are the descendants of Canaan and also a more general reference to the inhabitants of that region. It seems to be that that's the case to me. Over time in the scriptures, as we heard earlier in the scriptures and then heard later, there's the addition of some different groups, some names that we hadn't heard earlier. And how could that be? Well, men rose up, like is described there in the days of the flood and in the days of Nimrod, and that there are just those individuals that rise up to be a power. And then there are those that are just submissive and don't rise up to be a power amongst the people of that region and land. It's the way it is amongst mankind. You know and have just generally known of mighty men that are of great note and of great power and presence, notoriety. You know, Nebuchadnezzar. There was something about Nebuchadnezzar that was different in his ambition, just speaking as a man. And yet the Lord caused that man to rise to power. It's not apart from God. It is in God's power. The scripture says that our Lord sets up the leaders of the nations. And he brings them to power and he pulls them down according to his will. It's not apart from the Lord. But as we live here on this earth, we just see men and their lack of meekness and their desire to conquer and their pursuit. And they've been given ability and they do that. They conquer people and rule and reign. Tonight we want to take a look here and touch on this of the cities of the Canaanites. So we have this curse meted out by Noah upon his grandson. We don't know exactly why that is the case. We know that it's so. We see about what Ham did there, at the very least, not a lack of respect for his father, at the very least, it seems. But what is it about the Canaanites that the Lord's judgment has come upon them in this way? All we can do, again, is look to the scriptures and just see what the Lord says about different things and hold that in place in our hearts and minds and learn about that from the extent of what the Word of God gives us. Turn into your Bibles, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And let's read here. The children of Israel are getting their first look at the land of Canaan. The spies have been chosen, and they're listed here in this chapter, from every tribe, 12 spies, and they're sent into the land. We pick it up here in verse number 27, Numbers 13, 27, and they told him and said, they tell Moses the report, "We come into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." Remember what they brought? They brought a cluster of grapes that two strong, fighting, mighty men carried on a pole. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great cities. These inhabitants of Canaan have not been there for a decade or two." They've been there for a while. They have been there for time. They've built great and mighty walled cities, very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. We'll touch on them eventually. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, we've heard about them, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. So here we have some description about where some of these Canaanites live. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. Think there about the Dead Sea and maybe on south of that. I think Brother Mark pointed out in his study about Abraham that the topography there in that region, in that land south of the Dead Sea, as we understand it, is not the same as it was in the day of Abraham. It very well may have been that the Jordan River coming from the north to the south, terminating presently in the Dead Sea, from there may have gone out and there may have been a delta there. Do I remember that, Brother Mark, correctly? It seems like that's the case. We have the indication of the Lord with wherever the Garden of Eden is. Two of those rivers remain, as they're named there in the book of Genesis, and two others, I think, are gone. Possibly it could have been part of that region. And so so the Amalekites, they dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And so there's those mountain range that comes down through there, north to south, through Israel, Palestine. And the Canaanites, here, this is our point that we want to touch on. The Canaanites dwell by the sea, Mediterranean, and by the coast of Jordan. What's Jordan? Well, that's a Jordan River. And so it could have been that in that day that the Dead Sea was a lake better off than it is now. And that of the Jordan or other tributaries, I mean, we know the Jordan is there, came on down further south possibly. Don't know for sure. And certainly there's evidence of that delta down there. It was a very fertile land, very good land. And so it would make sense that they would settle there, especially if it was easy to grow. But we know that the Jordan at this time of this reference, in the days of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and getting this first glance at the land of Canaan, they say those Canaanites dwell over there all the way up to that river. And so we get an idea here of how the lay of the land is, so to speak, and where these different groups are. In Genesis chapter 10, we back up here, and this chapter is referred to by the table as the Table of Nations. It gives an idea of from Noah's sons how the earth was overspread. In verse number 32, it says, "These are the families of the sons of Noah," Genesis 10:32, "after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." And so we have a lot of information here. What we want to touch on is here in verse number 19. Let's take a look at this. We saw about Canaan's lineage and children here in earlier verses. In verse number 19, it says, "The border of the Canaanites was from Sidon." Now, if that's Tyre and Sidon, another city, that's way on up north, okay, along the Mediterranean there. And it seems that's what it's doing, is it's throwing the compass, if you will, throwing an arc here to the southern border of the Canaanites. "The border of the Canaanites were from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza," or Gaza, and that's down south there where the Mediterranean begins to curve, or the edge of the Mediterranean begins to curve to the west going towards Egypt. There's still issue going on in Gaza today. "As thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah." Now, that is giving a line for us, we believe, to the east. It's believed that Sodom and Gomorrah was on the south side of the Dead Sea, or maybe around to the southeast side of the Dead Sea. I'm told by those that have visited there that the topography and what's going on there in that region from the standpoint of the way it looks is incredible. One brother described it. It looks like there was fire from above that came down and just scorched that place. I mean, he saw that. He believed he saw that in the cliffs and the hills and the mountains were there, were in a place that they were taken, and were told that was that area. So reference, maybe you've got a map in the back of your Bible, Sidon up north, coming down around here to Gaza, and then over to the east. It gives a border here of the Canaanites. It says, "As thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and to Adma," I want you to hang on to that, A-D-M-A, "and Zeboam, even unto Laisha." And so those are the cities that are down there, Adma and Zeboam. We want to hang on to them. In chapter 14 of Genesis, we have the Battle of the Kings, as it's referred to. Abram is sojourning in the land. He and Lot have parted company. He told Lot, he said, "You take the direction you want to, I'll go the other way." Well, I just don't, we don't need to have this strife between us, between your herdmen and my herdmen. And they're great. I mean, they're both great in their substance and the people that they have. And so Lot, he heads seemingly east, southeast. It tells us, scripture tells us, towards Sodom, if that's Sodom and Gomorrah, if that's where, if we've got the understanding of where it's at correctly. Abraham, he would head north, northwest, going the other direction. These kings in this region, they have a time, and as we've talked about in reference last week, they would have a time where they would encroach upon one another and have quarrel with one another, or one would rise up to just want to dominate another. They would be covetous and see what another would have, and they said, I'm going to take that for mine. You know what's going on in that day? Same thing that goes on in this day. Men are men, right? Mankind is mankind. We see in verse number 1 of chapter 14 of Genesis, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, okay, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, I want you to hang on to Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. So here we see that there's this battle, and these kings come together. And with the kings of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, there's this king of Admah and the king of Zeboim. In verse number 8, we come down here, and there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zor, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim. So they have this battle amongst themselves. These of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, I understand that they're confederate, and against some others. Okay? In Genesis 18, the Lord visits brother Abraham, and he tells him, Abraham prepares there a meal. They prepare a meal and they fellowship around that. And the Lord tells him he's going to have a son in a year or so. And then the Lord has this discussion, so to speak, with himself, and said, am I going to hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And he says, no, I'm not. And he tells Abraham what he's going to do. Lot, he knows Lot has gone that direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says the cry of the wickedness of the sin, verse number 20 of Genesis 18, is very grievous, very grievous. And so he's going to go down, he says, and see if that's true. And of course, the Lord knows, but he's dealing with Abraham as a man. And so they go, and Abraham makes intercession. He makes intercession with the Lord, saying, if there's 50 all the way down to 10, will you destroy it then? And the Lord commits that if there's 10, he will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we know the case that the Lord goes there, the Lord Jesus, the angel of God. I think that's what it is, a pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ there with a couple angels. And the angels go in and they engage Lot. The wickedness of the men of the city is manifested just in that. And there are not 10. And they take Lot out, take his wife out, take the daughters out. No one else of their family will go. And the Lord says that he cannot destroy the place in Genesis 19:15, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand, the angels did, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city, and gave them instruction about going, Lot quarrels and all that. Sodom is destroyed, And Lot, we know and have studied about what's going on with him and his daughters and all that. His wife has turned to the pillar of salt. And it's just a sad, sad affair from in regard to this saint. It says in verse number 25 of chapter 19, "And he, the Lord, overthrew those cities, all and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground." His wife looked back, and then Abraham saw the great smoke that went up. We have in this account Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's how we refer to it, the destruction of them. But do you realize that Admah and Zeboam were also destroyed? And where is this city and where is this great statement that God is making? It's right there in the land of the Canaanites. Right there in the land of the Canaanites, the descendants of this man Cain. Canaan. And so these cities, along with Sodom and Gomorrah, are destroyed indeed. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, Brother Moses is preaching to the children of Israel. And in these messages, two or three messages, we understand that he's preaching to them as they're getting ready to go into the land the second time. That first generation is gone, except for a few. And we read this here in Deuteronomy 29, verse number 21. "And the Lord shall separate him, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." Verse 22, "So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth," like that region is that way now today, "nor any grass groweth this therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim." The wickedness that took place there in Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities of the plains and the land of the Canaanites was a great, great wickedness indeed. We refer to it, or the biblical reference to it in our day, is sodomy. And it's wicked before God, changing the design of the Lord that he's made in that between men and women, and that relationship and the things that go with the relationship in marriage. Men have taken it, as we read in Ecclesiastes last Wednesday, God has made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. And there in Canaan, they did the same. You know, a company that has a product, it's the greatest form of flattery for other products that are similar to be referred to as a Kleenex. You know full well you don't necessarily buy Kleenex brand, but you and I might call them Kleenexes. Or as it is in our part of the world here, you want a Coke? Yeah, I'll take a Coke. What kind do you want? Right? Well, I'll take a orange one. See, that's the greatest form of brand recognition, and the greatest form of flattery is to be called by the leader of a thing. Well, the converse of that is true also. Sodomy, wicked before God then and wicked before God now, and all in between, has been named after a city that was destroyed by the Lord Jesus himself, by God Almighty, there in the land of Canaan. The Lord was serious about it, wasn't he? Admah and Zeboam, along with Sodom and Gomorrah. He says here, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's speaking to the children of Israel, telling them, if they disobey, watch out. because the Lord did this to these cities because of their wickedness, and the Lord won't let you pass either, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? The Lord was very angry. The Lord has got a quarrel with the Canaanites. And maybe this, I don't know, gives us some insight as to what happened in that day there with Noah. We don't know. In Hosea 11, verse number 8, Hosea is a prophet sent to Israel, and a reference here in this chapter, in Hosea chapter 11, verse number 8, the statement is made, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel?" The Lord speaking. "How shall I make thee as Adamah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? Mine heart is turned within me." It becomes a reference to great judgment and fury from the Lord. The Lord loves his nation. He doesn't want to chastise and be so hot towards his nation and rebuke and chastisement. But he uses that which we did there in the land of Canaan because of that great sin that was prevalent amongst the inhabitants of that land as a reference for the limit that he's looking to go to towards them, towards his own nation. He loves them. It becomes a byword, if you will, in referring to great vengeance of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 34, we see here in the coming of the children of Israel out of the land, some references here along this line. There's a warning regarding the Canaanites. And the Lord knows why the children of Israel need to stay away from the Canaanites. He knows that, and he warns his nation whom he loves. In Exodus 34, verse number 10, we pick it up, and he said, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, in all the people among which thou shalt see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe that thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee." Verse 13, "But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Verse 15, "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods." The Lord knew that mingling with the Canaanites by the children of Israel, by their sons and their daughters, would be a destruction to their own. He knows in this day, so yet removed from the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, he yet knows what's in them and what they do. It will do nothing but lead them away. And what are their gods? The gods that the Canaanites worship are wicked and lustful and salacious and requiring of the death of babies and sacrifice of children and prostitution and wickedness beyond what we could even imagine or believe. The Lord has a quarrel with the inhabitants of Canaan. And you know what Canaan represents? There is an element here that Canaan represents the world in our day. I tell you what, you and I mingle with the world. We are to live in this world and be a witness of Christ in this world. But you and I go flirting around with the things of this world, it will be a detriment a death to us and our children. The Lord's got a quarrel with the inhabitants of Canaan, and he warns his people to stay away from them. Now, we know that they didn't, did we? Don't we? In Numbers chapter 33, this warning regarding the Canaanites, let's read here in chapter 33 of Numbers, verse number 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, and saying to them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land that dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. The Lord is against the curse on Canaan was severe and long-reaching. You know, what the Lord has done in giving the land of Canaan, it won't be reconciled until our Lord Jesus comes. Because Canaan is put out of his land, and Israel is going to have the land given to them by the Lord. It's going to be. In Judges chapter 3, we see here about the plague of the Canaanites. We saw that some there in Numbers. It's reiterated here. In Judges chapter 3, this time of the judges, there's not a king in Israel. There's men after the similitude of Moses and Joshua, and the Lord using them yet. It says here in Judges 3, the plague of the Canaanites, I've titled this. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. That's just sad, isn't it? Because the Lord warned at the beginning with the first generation. Brother Moses warned the second generation going into the land. And you know what? They didn't believe the Lord. Lord, help us that we would believe the Lord. And the children of Israel, verse number 7, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, because see, that's what happens. In the New Testament, love of the world creates enmity with God. And you and I cannot serve two masters. It's just that way. And may we beware. And so it happened. It happened that their daughters married their sons, and their sons married their daughters, and in that they forget the Lord their God and serve Balaam and the groves. All kinds of wickedness, like was that Sodom and Gomorrah, and all that related, the plague of the Canaanites. In Ezekiel chapter 16, we've studied recently through the book of Ezekiel and taken a look at how the Lord was dealing there with the captivity of Israel going into the land of the Chaldeans and Chaldea and Babylon and that. And there's a reference here yet that connects back to that destruction way back there of Sodom and Gomorrah in Abraham's day, Abraham and Lot's day. And in Ezekiel, and this reference to the children of Israel, or the Canaanites rather, I'm sorry. In Ezekiel chapter 16, listen to how displeased our Lord is with his nation and the reference that he uses towards them. Verse number 44 of Ezekiel 16. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, speaking of Israel in captivity, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. See, that's what went on amongst the Canaanites. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. We've got some of that going on today, don't we? Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. Can you imagine the Lord saying that to his own nation? But that's how sinful and wicked that they had become. Why? Because they didn't obey the Lord. Why? They took up the way of the Canaanites. And yet the enmity that is there between the Lord and the Canaanite, we can get the sense of that. Yet in this day, so far removed from there in the beginning, the nation has been, all the kings she's had, and Israel is going into captivity. Judah has now gone into captivity here in the land of the Chaldeans. And the Lord has said this to Judah. What's he say? Your mother was an Hittite and your father an Amorite. Was that literally the case? No. But he says your behavior is such. Your wicked way is such. And he takes that of the Canaanites and uses it as a rebuke to his own nation, Judah. The weight of that is indeed very, very great. And thine elder sister, verse 46, is Samaria, which is mixed up. And she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand, is Sodom and her daughters. What's sad, isn't it? In Zechariah chapter 14, we see here something that our Lord has declared. And you know what? He will bring it to pass. Zechariah chapter 14. Our Lord has given a fast forward to Brother Zechariah that goes on down beyond our time. We may well see it. We're going to see it. I'm talking about in the time of our life coming to the return of our Lord in that. And we're certainly going to see it in the millennial reign. But the Lord has not forgot, is the point. The Lord has this quarrel with the Canaanites yet to the end. In Zechariah chapter 14, we pick it up here in verse number 20. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. The Lord's going to be worshipped in every wit, in every way. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. His great blessing, the honor and praise and glory that he is due. I wonder about that in regards to the pot that Israel has seen and known and even makes it a part of their cookware, that our provision and our blessing is from our Lord that sits on the throne. Praise his name. Praise his name every time that we eat and everything that we enjoy. He's delivered us. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, like we see in the book of Ezekiel, the Israel will be sacrificing in that day. And seed therein, that means they're cooking. And in that day, there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Amen. Even down there, the Lord's thinking about it. Even down there at the end, in the millennial reign, the Lord is going to make good on his promise that Canaanite is going away. I'm glad I'm not a Canaanite, aren't you? Quarrel with the Lord. We have no room to quarrel with the Lord. It's his work. It's his doing. Brother Nebuchadnezzar said it. He does amongst the inhabitants of the earth as pleases him. I tell you what, for the mercy and the grace and the love of the Lord to be bestowed upon a sinner like you and me, I tell you what, we need to rejoice in our Lord and what he's done for us. I'm glad I wasn't born in Canaan. I'm glad I wasn't born in that time. You and I could have just as easily been a Hittite. But the Lord has rescued us from that. In closing, in Exodus chapter 23, going all the way back there to when Brother Moses is being used of the Lord to deliver the children of Israel, to take them to that land that flows with milk and honey. He says, the Lord declares here in verse number 23 of Exodus 23, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." Now, Israel didn't do that, did they? But I think our Lord Jesus will. The Canaanites, an enemy of Israel yet unto today. Lord willing, we'll go on and hear and look in the scriptures what the Lord says about some other ones, some that we know about, and we'll look about the placement that the scripture gives us, where they've come from and where they're at in the mix, and how the Lord will do a review in this of how the Lord used a very weak, seemingly instrumentality to work and fight even against them. You know, the children of the Lord and the people of the Lord are able to live and to conquer by the power of the Lord. Just like Brother Joshua and Brother Caleb said, the Lord has said he'll give it to us. Let's go. The Lord has declared it. He's declared it. He said it. We can rest in it and trust in it. Yeah, they're bigger than us. Yeah, they've got more than us. Seven nations mightier and greater than thou, the Lord said. Through Brother Moses and to the children of Israel. The Lord's declared it, and the Lord said it. It's going to be. And so we'll see about another group, Lord willing, next time. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hadn't been a message unto you directly about your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, it is a message. Don't be found an enemy of the Lord. Don't be found an enemy of the Lord. His enemies will be brought down to his footstool. I tell you what, if you're here and you're not saved, cry out for mercy unto our Lord. Cry out unto mercy, mercy upon your soul and the sin that you need washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We point you to him. He's faithful. He can save. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel.